Our first scripture reading this morning, it's from Joshua chapter 24, verses 1 to 2, 14, 18. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and the sons Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Now, therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served before the river and beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in those land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we would forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And then the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore also we will serve the Lord, for he is our God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
God. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having prevailed against everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore with belt your waist with truth, and put on the breastplate of righteousness, and lace up your sandals in preparation for the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me and make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly, as I must speak. This is the word of the Lord." I am honored to be with you all today. I bring you greetings from the Central Atlantic Conference of the United Church of Christ and from my colleagues. Reverend Freeman Palmer is our conference minister, and my fellow associate conference ministers, Reverend Craig Peterson and Reverend Sharissa Simpson Rice. I thank you all for your monetary contributions to what we in the UCC call our church's wider mission, or what we in the UCC, our acronym lovers, love to call OCWM, which helps to fund our conference and makes it possible for me to be here with you all today. Will you pray with me for a moment? Holy God, open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds, and be present not only in the words I speak, but in the way they are heard and taken in. Amen. We, unfortunately, live in a very violent society. But that seems like I'm saying that's a new situation, when in fact, violence is something that humanity as a whole has grappled with throughout our existence, right? And so when we hear this scripture from the book of Ephesians, and it mentions putting on God's armor and taking up a sword, it tends to trigger something in us. We wonder, does God want us to be violent? Are wars inevitable? Are we doomed to always take on the role of soldiers, even in the kingdom of God? Sometimes that's how this scripture has been used and frankly abused over the years to justify war and violence. But when we pull back the layers, like unwrapping an onion, another truth begins to emerge, one we desperately need in difficult times. So this morning, I want to peel back the layers of this metaphor and redeem it so that it can help us do the work of ministry together, work that is ultimately about love and peace, not violence or war. So let's start with some context and look at what the passage is talking about. This passage comes from a letter to the church in Ephesus. There's some competing scholarship about whether it was written by the Apostle Paul or someone who was a follower of Paul in Paul's name after his death. But pretty much it's in the way that Paul would have written it. And on the book, and the book of Ephesians on the whole, it has some questionable passages at times about men and women and slaves, some of which have been used in rather nefarious ways. But I hate to abandon this passage because I think we can find value in it. You need to understand the world surrounding this church in Ephesus and other churches like it. They lived in a very militaristic society where they had very few rights and little recourse to unfair treatment. And the church was under constant attack and persecution. The armor that surrounded them, worn by the troops that intimidated them and kept the order, was not of God. It was very much human armor that was meant to wound and maim and kill and threaten them. But the church was not supposed to be like the world around them. In fact, in much of this letter, it's trying to help the church, which was a conglomeration of Jews, Gentiles, and pagans, to define themselves and differentiate themselves in order to survive. So the letter emphasizes that, yes, the world around them might be full of people in human armor and forces that seem aligned against them. But the church was supposed to put on the armor of God, which was very different than human armor. And this armor wasn't meant to hurt others or to dominate others, but to help the church defend themselves. And if you take a moment to consider what this armor actually is, you'll see why it's not a passage endorsing violence, but it's a passage about keeping pacifists safe. The armor that God equips the people with is not chainmail and a razor-sharp sword to cut down their enemies, or bulletproof tactical gear and a machine gun to start a war. It's not offensive at all. It's defensive. God's armor consists of a belt of truth, a breastplate of righteousness, a shield of faith, a helmet of salvation, sandals of peace, and yes, a sword, but a sword of the Spirit. So let's break that down. God's armor protects us with the truth. That would be really helpful nowadays with the amount of lies and misinformation out there. A belt of truth centers us, holds us together, holds us up. A breastplate of righteousness protects our hearts and our guts, right? Righteousness is shown by someone who is fair and honest and good, someone who cares for others and pursues justice for the downtrodden. A righteous person is a generous and honorable person. So when things like greed or bigotry or envy or anger try to cut us down or distort our reality, the breastplate of righteousness stops them in their tracks and protects our hearts. Similarly, when times are hard, we can also employ the shield of faith against desolation and hopelessness and fear. So these things get nowhere near us. Then, since we all know how vulnerable our mind is to these forces as well, we employ the helmet of salvation. When the world tells you that you are unworthy, when the world tells you that you are not worth it, the helmet covers your ears and guards your thoughts. It reminds you that you are already saved, and not just saved, but worthy of salvation in God's eyes. Worthy of love and care and sacrifice. But this armor doesn't just protect you, it also gives you what you need to go out into the world and work for God's creation. So on your feet are sandals of peace. Not even boots, right? They're sandals. Not to be used to step on each other or kick people, but shoes to spread the good news of the gospel that is God's love for all, an abundant life that is possible here on earth and again after our death. And yes, we get a sword, but not a sword that maims or kills. That would go against everything Jesus said or stood for. This is a sword of the Spirit that brings belonging and understanding, equips us for ministry, names us as God's own, and is part of our very breath. The Spirit that is the wind, a dove, and fire that does not burn or destroy. A sword not to use against others, but to be used to illuminate our way, to cut through lies and false promises, and anything else that would separate us from one another or from God. Every day, the people who receive this letter would encounter Romans and human armor, and they would know that their lives and communities were at risk. The author of this letter wants them to see that armor and think, sure, their enemies and oppressors have weapons of war, as do the forces of evil anywhere in the world. But God has given me something better that will protect me and mine. God gives us a different kind of armor, and no, it will not be used to destroy others, and no, it may not even repel a live steel sword used against us. But it will remind us that regardless of what powers do to intimidate us or to hurt us, God is faithful and protects our souls. We will trust and serve God, not the powers and principalities of this world or any world. Frankly, even though we live in a different time, there are plenty of ways that the world continues to assault us with mistruths, with threats, and with even more souped-up weapons of war than the Romans had. So I figure we could use a suit of God's armor right about now. Couldn't we all use something that grounds us in the truth, that protects our hearts and minds and bodies from despair and intimidation, that helps us walk in peace and goes before us to illuminate our path and cut through all that would divide or destroy? Wouldn't such armor help us to remember who we are and whose we are, regardless of the situations happening around us? But that got me to thinking. The writer of Ephesians used the metaphor of armor because it was something very familiar to those who would be reading this letter. So what metaphor would be useful for us today? We have more opportunity to do the work of ministry and to be an example of love in the world than our friends back in Ephesus were. They were under persecution. We have more freedom than they did. So what could God equip us with today to go on the offensive that might help us to live into that calling? Maybe not a set of armor, but maybe a backpack of love. So many of us have backpacks or bags that we carry around everywhere. Women, we have our purses. Sometimes men are even starting to have bags. They see how useful it is, right? We have ways in which we carry around all the things that we need. But what if we had a backpack or bag from God? What might be in that? Maybe a set of binoculars for us to look where God shows up in our lives, and also to get a wider view of the systems that harm us. How about a set of headphones to help us better listen to the still speaking God and help us listen to one another? A water bottle full of the water of life to refresh us when we start to feel run down. A mirror, both to remind us when we look into it that we are beloved children of God, but also a mirror that reminds us to look honestly at ourselves, to take responsibility for the hurt we have caused, and be mindful of the ways in which our own words or behaviors can either heal or hurt those around us. Perhaps a bit of ointment or salve to offer to others or to use on ourselves when the wounds and deep pain threaten to overwhelm us. Maybe a journal or a planner where we can reflect on our journey, but also one whose words remind us that regardless of the difficulty of the work ahead of us, we must commit to doing it. I'm sure we'd find a calendar or agenda planner in there, so we could schedule out our Sabbath rest and plan our days and remember to schedule in the work we have to do. Work that cannot be ignored or assigned to someone else. For each of us, that work may look very different depending on our circumstances or our abilities and our resources. God knows what each of us are capable of. But each of us can make a difference in our own way, and put together all of our work can be an overwhelming wave of love and justice and hope that with God's help washes through all of creation. As Anita Peoples writes in her sermon on this same passage, over our shoulders can be a shawl woven of hopes and dreams and imagination, light enough to take with us everywhere we go, but strong enough that it will not tear under pressure, and warm enough that it will offer us the comfort when the winds of apathy threaten to blow us off course. Oh, to be able to put on the shawl of hope and carry around the backpack of love all over a set of the armor of God. What good might we be able to do, and what evil might we be able to vanquish with such tools? Tools that God has already promised us, tools we can pray for and use when we need to. And yet I know sometimes my armor will slip, or my backpack will be a little bit more empty than usual, or my shawl might even develop a hole or two. Any of my knitters or crocheters know when that happens, right? That's just the reality of life. But that's okay, because in the church, we have each other. So when you see someone's armor from God slipping or failing, then work together to straighten each other's helmets or to tie each other's shoes. When you see someone's backpack of love looking more empty than usual, do your best to refill it. Let someone borrow your tools or share what you have until everyone has enough. And when that shawl of hope starts to fray, come alongside each other with a needle and a thread and sew it up. That's how we get through difficult times. And it's how we move from pain to healing, from violence to peace, from despair to possibility, from loss to redemption, and from death to resurrection. We pray, we persevere, and we boldly proclaim God's good news. So together, let's put on what God gives us and make this a better place for all of God's beloved people. Amen.